What's happening, everybody? We're back with another episode of the QB List Podcast. It's Brian, Mario, and Nick here to dive through the Week 9 recap, talk about the Week 10 waiver wires, and look, folks, we're put together with bandages, crutches, and ace bandage, but we're here. We made it. Nobody's torn anything yet. How you guys doing today?
Brian, I'm doing better than the health of my fantasy team. It was tough between the Tucker Crafts, the Brian Thomas Juniors, who maybe is hurt or maybe he's just bad. I don't know, to be determined, but it's tough. Doing great.
Yeah. Happy Monday, guys. Happy daylight savings. I also came off back-to-back pretty awesome fantasy weeks into a deep plunge this week, which was really bad. So kind of humbling me, bringing me back to reality. And some injuries kind of dampening my mood as well.
Yeah, a bit of a blunder for me in my leagues. You know, maybe it's the cause. You have a good team that this is the week that they were all going down. Complete shakeups in a lot of the standings in my leagues. But look, folks, this is why we do it. This is why we listen to the podcast. Stay ahead of your league mates. Without further ado, we're starting off the booms and the busts today. So let's go ahead and get us rocking with these booms. Take it away, Mario. Your boom quarterback for us.
Boom quarterback, I'll give this guy flowers because I slander him every chance I get. But Caleb Williams, I mean, kudos to him. He had the receiving touchdown. You don't see that often. Turns out playing the Bengals does make you look that good. So he looked good against the Cowboys. He looked good against the Bengals. He looks good against bad defenses. I'm ready to admit that. That's the only thing I'll admit about Caleb Williams. But absolute stud. Quarterback won before Monday Night Football. So unless Kyler Murray and the Wildcat outpaces him, I think he's got it in a lock.
And I think Brissett is the starter, if I'm not wrong, week. So yeah. Kyler is a long shot to make that QB1 list. But yeah, Caleb tried to move him before this week and end up winning me a week in my home league. So really appreciate that performance, especially that last few minutes of that incredible wild game.
Just, 89 points in that
Bengals are so much fun every week. But I want to talk about Sam Darnold. This is another guy who just repeatedly has taken – I mean, nobody's wanted him, and he even got passed off this year, and Minnesota probably would look pretty good with him, but this was a masterclass last night, and I'm not going to sit here and say that Washington has some stout defense that we're all scared of, but 21 of 24, 330 yards, 4 touchdowns, absolutely precise on every single pass, especially the first half. I believe it was 20 of 20, or like right in that range where Jordan Love was last week, and it was really exciting to watch. He's doing this with, and JSN had no touchdowns. Torrey Horton had 2. Arroyo had 1. These guys are rookies. You know, he's the one making these guys look good, and he's elevating them to a different level. And I think we were all concerned about Darnold because he didn't really have anyone outside of JSN, but he's like bringing AJ Barner in. He's bringing Arroyo is now coming to life. Torrey Horton has, I think, 5 touchdowns this year. Like these are, he is the kind of the cog that's keeping this offense going, and it's not the running game that we thought it was going to be.
Don't even get me started on that. The fact that now Charbonnet is not vulturing touchdowns, it's AJ freaking Barner that's stealing touchdowns. I'm not pissed. I'm not mad. I'm fine.
No, I'm mad. I'm mad.
Rounding out the rest of the top 12 here, and again, we are recording before Monday night, so we won't have the Dak or Brissett here in the lineup, but Joe Flacco, of course, on the other end of that 89-point game, finishes number 2. Josh Allen at number 3, despite only 26 yards on the ground. Justin Herbert, Geno Smith, Jackson Dart, Matthew Stafford, rocking that MVP vote right now. 4 touchdowns, leading the league there. Lamar comes in at 9, Penix at 10, T-Law at 11, and J.J. McCarthy at 12.
Yeah, Geno, great to see him come back to life, but also wanted to point out Stafford. Really, he's become the vulture for Kyren as well. He's taken a lot of these under 5-yard touchdowns, but so for fantasy, it doesn't really matter. Stats look great. Got to root for him.
Absolutely. Yeah. Let's go to running backs here. Who's y'all's standout at the running back position?
Yeah, got to give credit to this guy, Rico Dowdle. You know, he started 3 games, each one of those games. Again, this is before Monday night, but finishes running back 1. Running back 2, and as of now, running back 2. So maybe someone passes him, but honestly, I doubt it. Rico Dowdle is just a machine, and it's crazy that the Cowboys just like let him get away. Like, and this guy wasn't the starter, right? Like, he's proven time and time again. I appreciate what the Panthers did. You can't lose your job to injury, so they gave Hubbard a chance. But then I appreciate what the Panthers did again, where they recognize it's like, listen, like You can't lose your job to injury. You can lose your job to being worse than the other guy. So, the most respectful way. And can't letting it go.
Yeah, Dowdle, incredible. I want to talk about Kyle Manungai, rookie seventh round pick. I think one of you guys just said it, but playing the Bengals makes you look good. And
yeah, it's that easy.
Getting away from this performance, but this is exactly where you want to be for your first career actual starting role. So 26 carries, 176 yards, three receptions, and 22 on the ground. No touchdowns, but looked really good. And I think Swift probably could have played if necessary. I think this is more of them trying to hold him back for the long run, but he's probably earning himself more playing time down the stretch here.
I agree on that. Rounding out the rest of the running backs here in the top 12, Christian McCaffrey on top with 173 yards all-purpose, scored on the ground, scored through the air. The workload pace is unreal. I don't see how he makes it through the playoffs. Josh Jacobs coming in at 4, Ashton Jeanty 5, Kyren at 6, Jaylen Warren, Chase Brown, RJ Harvey back in the top 10 again. Travis Etienne at 10, Bijan at 11, and Devon Achan at 12. Not a bad list.
No, is this the 49ers' first rushing touchdown of the season? I know they went so long without one.
I think he got one last week, finally. A couple weeks ago, he finally broke that trend against Tampa Bay and then two against Atlanta.
Okay. Well, I was away.
But yeah, he's been, while you were away, there you go. Those weeks did happen.
Hand up, that's why I forgot those happened. I thought time stood still. It seemed like my fantasy team players stood still. So
you were living in a fantasy.
Let's go to wide receivers here. Throw me all's your highlight at the wide receiver position.
Wide receiver, I'm going to jump right in to, we saw what you can do when you play against the Bengals, but also good things happen for Bengals players. Like Joe Flacco, T. Higgins was someone I was kind of down on, and maybe it was just Jake Browning's fault because Joe Flacco has saved this man's career. 29.6 points, wide receiver 2 before Monday Night Football. The targets are just continuing to be unreal. 9 targets this week. A little bit of a downer 2 last week, but still got the long touchdown. 10 before that. 8 before that. Like Joe Flacco just loves to ball. And I feel so bad for the Bengals offense because they're doing their job. Far and away, they're doing their job. But T. Higgins is killing it. Either one, him and a Jamar Chase are easy set and forgets going forward, as long as Flacco's at the helm.
Bengals offense had some words, too. Chase Brown and Jamar Chase both after the game had if they're saying that to the media, can you imagine what those locker rooms are like right now?
Goodness. Good for getting that coach, right? Like, you don't like the coach, so this, you must be salivating at this.
Yeah. Oh, I mean, just making a stance for why he should get fired at the end of the season. They're making no changes to coaching. Like, keeping the DC. Let's keep it rolling. It's fine.
Yeah, I mean, every offseason move was exactly the same, too. It was just lock up some kind of, I mean, T and Chase, I get it. Gesicki, could we have replaced him? Could we have spent that on the defense? You know, extend Hendrickson, whatever. Yeah. But there's no end in sight for this. These guys are all going to see 8-plus targets every week. And T is someone we've talked about for multiple weeks, saying that his opportunities are going to go up. We knew Chase was going to be untouchable in your leagues, but he was somebody that we were talking about buying. So nice to see that come to fruition. Also, incredible sideline catch down the left corner. That was, mossed. But I want to talk about Drake London against my Patriots. This is great because I have him in multiple leagues. Traded for him early in the season. He did just enough to be the wide receiver 1, but still for the Patriots to win. So that's your dream set up here. 9 receptions, 14 targets, 118 yards, 3 just bully ball touchdowns inside the 10-yard line. I'm not going to act like Penix was incredible or super accurate. London is just bigger and stronger than the defenders on all those touchdowns, and some really nice catches there as well.
Yeah, this is the appeal of the large wide receiver that we had up until the last like five-ish years in the NFL. Like, this is why you wanted that kind of type of wide receiver, just to go up and get it. Like, you didn't have to out-talent them. You didn't have to, you know, it didn't matter what your quarterback situation was. You're just going up and getting it. And I appreciate that we still have some of these large and in charge fellas.
Yeah, people like to stay away from, I mean, not the NFL, but a lot of the fantasy community, I feel like, stays away because they think that they can't separate. But then you get situations like this. And London is a really solid route runner, and he does separate. But then he just can bully ball them and get 3 touchdowns in the red zone. So that's what you want at the end of the day.
You can't teach big at the end of the day.
Yeah,
that's just it.
Rounding out the rest of the wide receivers here, we got DJ Moore at 3. Shocking to see. Too shocking as we get to the bus here in a minute. Devontae Adams, Puka Nacua finished at 4 and 5. We got Torrey Horton coming in with 2 touchdowns at 6. JSN continues his dominant season with 129 yards at 7. Pop Douglas at 8. Rashee Rice at 9. Michael Pittman at 10. Andre Yoshivas coming in at 11. And Olamide Zaccheaus. Yeah. Coming in at wide receiver 12. Freaking awesome. Love that. Because that clearly means they're really targeting the right guys. Ryan took a breathe. Breathe. It's fine. Let's talk tight ends. We had some dominant performances by two fellas here.
Yeah, I'm going to start with the easiest of the easy ones, the lowest hanging fruit. But Brock Bowers, I mean, he was gone for 3 weeks. Then he had the bye. And even before he was injured, you know, you weren't too impressed about, you know, spending the second round pick on him. 12 points. But besides that, a lot of single digit finishes. This week he made up for lost time. This week he came back with a vengeance, 13 targets. I don't want to say he revitalized Geno's career because Geno has done that himself so many times already, but it certainly did not hurt. So 13 targets, caught 12 of them for 127 yards and 3 touchdowns, over 40 points in full PPR, but we don't care about full PPR. So 37.3 and a half. Unbelievable finish.
This game was 6-9 going into the fourth quarter. They finished at 29-30 at the end of regulation at the end of overtime. Absolutely crazy how good this game got and the fact that I kept watching it. I also watched my fantasy team go down, down, down with Brock Bowers just continuing to go up, up, up. But it's okay. It's okay, folks. I told you I'm fine.
Yeah, I kept getting frustrated with Red Zone for switching to this game. I feel like a lot over the Chiefs and Bills game. But then in the end, I was like, this is actually equally as exciting. Like maybe if the Cincinnati-Chicago game didn't happen, it might have been the most exciting game of the week.
No kidding.
At least how it ended. But speaking of Cincinnati-Chicago, I wanted to hype up Colston Loveland, somebody we talked about on the waiver wire more last week when we knew Komet was out. This week did not really scream Loveland, so he probably wasn't in a lot of lineups, but 118.
Unless they read the tight end streaming article, he might have been.
We talked about him last week in the waiver wires, and I mean, it makes sense. He's a 10th overall pick. We weren't really sure what they were going to look like with two tight ends this week with Komet entering the game, but 118 yards, game-winning touchdown. Horrible tackling on that last play.
Horrible.
Two guys, I don't understand this.
Three. Triangle.
I watched it at the end last night's game too, and I'm trying to think of who it was, but same thing. Safety comes in, just bumps the tight end and just like kind of propels him a little bit. The guy doesn't even come close to coming down and then just runs an extra 30 yards for a touchdown. Pop Warner style tackling. I don't understand what is going on in the NFL and how these defensive coordinators are not going back and saying, hey, if you put your arm around the guy, he will go down. But if you just like push him, if you just push him a little bit, then he's just going to keep going. These are like the, you know, outside of the offensive linemen, they're the biggest guys on the field.
Yeah, it's not Xavier Worthy. He's 6'6", 240. You're not pushing him over.
Tackle him. So anyway, I mean, great for fantasy. Great. I had him in a couple of dynasty leagues, so I did not hate it at all and love to see him come into life.
Rest of the tight ends we have here, we got Dalton Kincaid crossing 100 yards and a touchdown at tight end 3. Sam Laporta, Mark Andrews, Dalton Schultz, Travis Kelce at 7, Juwan Johnson, Theo Johnson, Pat Freiermuth, A.J. Barner at 11, and his teammate Elijah Arroyo coming in at 12. I had A.J. Barner on the streaming article. You know what I mean? Look at that.
Someone in my Dynasty League just sent me Geno in a second for Drake May. Just going to decline that on air.
And we usually don't talk
really
about
hyping up Geno. Yeah, go for it. Sorry.
We usually don't talk about the defenses here. Off the top of y'all's head, do you know who finished at number one on defense this week?
Good question.
Tennessee. Tennessee Titans, the number one defense, depending on your scoring format.
Put up
21 defensive touchdown to do that to you. They made the Chargers look inept.
And special Absolutely teams. Inept.
Yeah, special teams as well. Crazy performance from them. All right, folks, with the good, usually comes the bad. And we can't just flush down these guys. We got to talk about them a little bit. So let's get to it here. Mario, give me your quarterback that let you down this week.
Yeah, it has to be the guy who going into this week was quarterback 1 on the season. So you have to expect at least a single-digit finish, right? Or even I'll take a top 12 finish. But Patrick Mahomes II, his first game, I believe, since his college career where he had fewer than 50% completion rate. So he attempted 34 passes, completed 15 of them, just gets you 11.5. Bad day. I mean, I'm looking at who he has more points than. Tyler Slot. I can't pronounce this guy's
Shuck.
Name. Shuck. That's crazy. That's Shuck. We gotta address that. But anyway, Tyler Shuck was finished as quarterback 21. Patrick Mahomes right above him. Bad company to keep, but did not see this one coming, especially against that marquee matchup.
Yeah, yeah. Clearly didn't pack the refs with him in his bag.
Nice.
Not this time, but the Bills have their number in the regular season, and then the Chiefs have their number in the playoffs, so it's kind of just following a tradition here. I wanted to talk about Jordan Love. This is somebody who I still like going into the second half of the season, but losing Tucker Kraft is going to be a devastating loss for him. But 26 of 37, 237 yards and one interception, no touchdowns. Not what you want to see against the Panthers. Panthers have improved a lot this year, but still, you think at home, I definitely expected them to put on, after last week, like a little bit closer to a clinic like he did against the Steelers.
And I do have to shut one out here. My boy, Indiana Jones. We finally saw the Giants Jones this week. Goodness. What is it? Three interceptions and two fumbles. Josh Downs also had a fumble. Like this, I mean, the fact that it was only a 7-point game the Colts lost to with that many turnovers was pretty wild, but I was waiting for it. I wasn't just assuming that Daniel Jones is now a perennial top-end quarterback. He still is what he is. He can be elevated by the team and the coaching around him, but like these games are still going to pop up. Glad we got out of the way. Hopefully we can just put that away for the rest of the season, maybe. But Daniel Jones, you hurt me, buddy.
Sorry, man.
Running backs, who disappointed y'all?
Running backs, I'm going to talk about... This was a game, and in the sit start last Friday, we kind of talked about how this was going to be a messy game and to avoid it at all costs. I didn't listen, and so now I'm hurt. I'm going to use my platform to talk about it. But Woody Marks of Houston versus the Broncos. I agreed that this game was going to be messy, so I expected a lot of like ground pound kind of ball. Woody Marks was just not that. There was an instance where the Texans were at the 1 yard line, first and goal at the one. It was Nick Chubb had a rushing attempt. Then the backup, I can't even remember his name. I'll pull it up right here.
All right.
No,
British Brooks.
Yeah.
British Brooks then got two carries and he didn't get in on either. So like, just the fact that Woody Marks was out of the equation whatsoever lands him on this list. 10 carries for 27 yards, abysmal day, really had high expectations. I thought, like I said, the matchup would play in his favor. It did not. So he's my stinker of the week.
Nick, who hurt you?
Jahmyr Gibbs, you know, lower hanging fruit. RB37 on the week. You don't really see that too much from him. Vikings defense has historically been one to avoid, and this is a division matchup. This sort of stuff happens, but he's usually somebody who can overcome pretty much anything. Vikings defense has really been underwhelming this year, but three receptions, three targets, 3 yards. You know, we've seen some really blow up performances in these spots, so that would probably hurt you a little bit.
I'm going to throw out Kamani Vidal. It's hot, it's cold, it's hot, it's cold, and that's what it was this week. 30 rushing yards, no receiving yards. Hassan Haskins is on IR. We're getting word that Hampton's not going to be a bit. So it's like, it's him, unless they trade for somebody. But when that offensive line continues to fall apart as it does, it's not going to be great every week. It's going to be game script dependent. And in a game where they're favored by 8.5, who would have thought that wasn't the game script?
This is the one.
Yeah.
We were saying trade him after this week because the schedule gets worse. But unfortunately, you have waited too long. I want to quickly throw up Rashard Smith, too, because I'm sure he was in people's flex spots this week. But it just shows you that stuff that we saw was more game script dependent. He had one target, no catches, 3 carries for 7 yards. So
stupid.
If they are, you'd think that playing at a deficit with a positive game script, he would actually be more involved in the passing game, but that's not what we saw. When the game is on the line, the Chiefs are not using him, and that was without Pacheco too. So we've really only seen that usage when they have heavy, heavy victories. So just something to keep in mind moving forward. If you can package him for somebody who believes, this would still be an opportunity. I would try to be making those moves.
I like that.
Let's go to wide receivers. Who do we have?
Wide receivers, I was kind of between a couple, and I'm just looking at guys that you really disappointed me. Garrett Wilson is one of those. Let's see who else. Devonta Smith.
Oh yeah, I gotcha.
And then the last one would be Rome Odunze, right? So all three of those guys have a lot in common, because they both put up nothing. But like you said, as you alluded to, two of those guys are on bye. One of those guys had the tastiest of tastiest matchups. We talked about the game at the top of the show where every single person in this game got points. Just by existing in this game, you got double-digit points, except Rome Odunze. When in Rome, they were not in Rome. Only three targets, couldn't bring in a single one. Again, this is just more failings on Caleb Williams, but it's just abysmal, an absolute train wreck. I don't know how this happens.
Now, I don't want to be a Rome Odunze apologist here because I'm still trying to hold on a little hope. But as bad as the Bengals' defense is, it is horrendous. They've got Trey Hendrickson, who reportedly could be on the move. They have only one other good player, DJ Reed, the corner for Cincinnati. He's beginning to look better and better each and every week. He's starting to become what I'd probably consider that lockdown corner where you have to worry about that number one that's going to be going up against him. Not quite the Sutton Sertan or Sauce Gardner's level, but we're approaching that level, I think. You know, he is literally the only bright spot on that offense or defense.
Yeah, and we can also say that DJ Moore was top three. Olamide Zaccheaus was top 12. Colston Loveland was top two. So, like you said, DJ Reed.
Manungai, number two.
Like, they just didn't really need him. And Ben Johnson, they tried to take him away from the – tried to take him out of the offense, and they just targeted everybody else instead.
He had an end zone target, too. I think a couple. Like, it just went out of his hands.
Yeah, and I'm a Rome guy. I've got a few Rome shares as well. So, yeah, this one, I was really excited about this game, and that Caleb team has Rome as a stack. So – every time you see the scoreboard light up in red zone, I'm like, all right, let's go. And it's just somebody else. But I wanted to quickly talk about DK Metcalf. Also thought this game lined up really well for him against the Colts, but 2 for 4, 6 yards, another complete disappearing act, barely better than Rome, but better days are ahead for both of these guys.
Yeah.
It's fine. I'll be okay. I just want to bring up Olave. I was kind of hoping that just sheer targets alone, he could get there. 4 targets, 3 catches, 57 yards. Tyler Shuck, he targeted him significantly less in this game compared to what Olave's seen over the remainder of the season. So I thought he could just kind of hold on to that value, but it might be slipping a bit with the rookie.
Yeah, this was a terrible matchup for him to come in and make his first start, though, against that Rams defensive line. So it might get a little better when he's got a little time to throw. Also, apparently Taysom Hill is going to be just ridden into the ground now that
the team in rushing this week, folks. Yeah. Sneak peek into the tight end waiver wire. Some nice runs.
I hate it, but he will do absolutely nothing next week and destroy you.
DK Metcalf, 2 for 4, 6 yards. That one was pretty surprising for me as well. Again, this game had some good points, good offense, but DK, what happened, man?
What happened?
Rough. Let's throw out the tight ends before we get out of here. Who are y'all's tight end disappointments for this week?
Yeah, want to give an aggravation to George Kittle. We talked about at the top of the show a tight end who was injured but then came back and passed the eye test, the every test really, with stars and stripes. George Kittle looked great the previous week at Houston. You know, he got you the double-digit points. Maybe it was just because it was tight end week. This one kind of back down to reality against the Giants. Only 4.9 points, 4 targets. He brought in all of them, but just not enough volume, not enough yardage. And next week he's going to face off against the Rams, who right outside the top 10, they're actually the 11th best defense against tight ends. So you would have liked to see, it's just not building confidence going forward with Kittle.
Yeah, I have one thing that makes me build a little confidence, but we'll save that for later. I'm going to talk about Tyler Warren, because this just seemed like a smash spot for him. Everybody has dominated. Every tight end has dominated against the Steelers. We just saw Tucker Kraft last week, Hunter Henry. Like, every team that has played against the Steelers has dominated. And I really just expected Warren to kind of blow up in this spot. But yeah, he 26 yards, still had 7 targets. I still completely believe in him long term, but little sad. Tight end 27 on the week.
Yeah, it was upsetting. I'm fine. I'm not bitter, folks. Ooh. It's fine. Those were our booms and busts for the week. Let's go to these injuries. Let's talk about these as we move into the waiver wire. Puka Nacua pops up there. Came back into the game, getting his ribs checked out again. Little banged up, but he'll make it through it. Travis Hunter, non-contact knee injury, went down late last week. We are still waiting for word from the team. Latest update I've seen is there's optimism that it won't be season ending, but he is on IR, so it's at least three more games for him.
Yeah, they say it's not a tear, but it's going to be three more games at least.
They sold everything for this guy. They better be careful with him. Season might be lost already.
And I imagine that's kind of why they're being extra cautious, right? Like, they just sold the farm for him. I think that they can they're still kind of on this hot streak, so I think they're just trying to stabilize without him, but definitely something to monitor. And we'll talk about who might be the guy there.
But that's smart. So, you take care of your franchise boys, right? Right? So yeah. When your quarterback is in a game that he has no chance in winning, and it's late in the fourth, don't you pull out Jaden freaking Daniels, the guy who's coming off an injury? Nope. Elbow injury. Out indefinitely.
Yeah. Don't watch it.
Don't watch it. That was tough.
Lost season. I came into this season like thinking, what is Washington doing? They think they're a contender. They're pushing it all in. They did not make the moves you need to do to push it all in. Go check out the Eagles. See what they've done in the last 5 days. That's how you push the chips all in. But yeah. No, Mario, you get no spotlight to talk about the Birds right now. Absolutely not.
Yeah, they
will say it. A mug, though.
They definitely... Yeah, are you drinking coffee over there?
Tea. We drink tea.
A little tea for the throat. Yeah, we're pod. That
was very nice. Yeah, they made a lot of moves that were saying, like, we're in, we really believe in what we did last year. And it's hard to take away the performance that they put up last year. Definitely overachieved. I know Brian and I really kind of talked about them a lot in the early season and off season, saying, like, this is kind of fraud-looking contenders, in my opinion. Mm-hmm. Like, they brought in some older players to really go for that, but I think it's really just going to set them back a few years. And this certainly does not help. So this is worst case scenario, especially in a blowout. And again, that injury was horrible.
Yeah, they're trying to patch together missing limbs with Ben Gay. It ain't working. I'm sorry. You have more of an injury than that. You need to put more consideration into your team. But whatever. This one might. This is probably the most heartbreaking one of the week. Tucker Kraft, RIP, torn ACL.
Yeah,
bad. I'd give him mine if I could. I mean, and I'm not even a Packers fan, but I have enough shares of him. He's been tremendous. He's been incredible. There's not enough good things you can say about his performance. And it's going to make the sit starts for the Packers much more interesting going forward, right? Because the wide receiver room was just kind of like, I don't know, like it's just a random grab bag of goodies. But always Tucker Kraft was the staple. And now there's no more Kraft mac and cheese in the pantry. So I don't know what we're going to have for dinner.
We're starving the next few weeks, folks. Yeah. Brian Thomas Jr., ankle injury. I don't know. I feel like he's been lingering with an injury all season. Maybe this is just an excuse. I really don't have much else to get to say on his worst draft pick this year.
Oh, yeah. My goodness. I mean, the only way it could be worse is if that earlier on in the season you traded someone like Rico Dowdle for him because you're like, you know, Rico's a fad and Brian Thomas Jr. has to correct, right? So that'd probably be the only way that could get worse. But
ooh, salt in the wound.
I can't think of anything.
CJ Stroud exited with a concussion. It's kind of up in the air. Sometimes these guys miss a game, sometimes they don't. Houston losing again, they're not exactly in the hunt, if you would, right now, so maybe they'll take that extra week of precaution. Davis Mills is coming out, so I don't know if we're exactly excited about that one.
No.
Samaje Perine, high ankle sprain. Garrett Wilson says he's back coming ready after the bye week. Kayshon Booty, this one was weird. Hamstring injury, missed the game. Found out old boy's got a Discord, a Booty Discord. It's not the Booty Discord I thought I was looking for. But he gives all the updates that you need. He said there's a chance that he could still play this week. MRI came back, so we'll find out in the waiver wire.
Is that like a self-HIPAA violation? Or like, I don't know what the NFLPA says about having the Discord where you have your updates. But I'm
not telling.
Follow. Yeah. This one hurt because he was with near the top of my list of the waiver wire article. So for this to pop up, I think did he end up playing the game and he had like the one target?
I don't even think he didn't record a stat this week.
He left the game, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, Clyde is over at 33 yards everywhere. And Pop Douglas said, hey, you would have won your bet. You would have won your bet.
Oh, yeah, this one hurt. This one hurt me, but that's okay.
The last one we have going to the Chargers, Joe Alt, yet again, another injury. This one's season ending. He's gone. They've got no Slater, whatever. There's so many
Slater.
With Slater. They're both out for the season now. This line is just, it's hampered. and they're missing Hampton, which we just got a report right before we hit the button that they've got a week 12 bye. Hampton won't be back, shouldn't be back before that week 12 bye. So we got another 4 weeks, no Hampton.
And we're going to have to see what they do because Haskins is also banged up, right? So
he's on the IR.
So he's definitely banged up. So we'll see if Vidal, who is we talked about, was disappointing this week, if they do try to go out and make a move in the meantime. Because they're contending. They're I think they're the seventh seed right now if the season ended today. Maybe.
Yeah,
sixth.
With Kansas City's loss, they might be pretty close there fighting for that division. The Broncos actually might be in contention now.
Broncos are in first in that division. So the Chargers are in second. So
Broncos are the most fraud 7-2 team that is in the league right now. Absolutely. Wow. I would have not bet anything that they were 7-2.
Well, they barely won yesterday against Davis Mills, too.
Yeah, I don't know. I was
they do
really
just
excited.
Enough. You have to win games, and they do just enough. And you I feel like I go on a Sean Payton rant every single week, so I'll save it. But
I was waiting for it.
They do just enough.
I was like, we just teed him up. Here he goes.
Yeah.
Yep.
And the people are tired.
Oh my God.
All right, folks. That will wrap up the majority of the injuries. There might be a few more squeaking by, but we I think we got the majority of them. Let's go into the waiver wire. Let's dive in. Let's go into probably the most important position on fantasy rosters. Let's talk some running backs. Guys, throw them at me. Who are we talking about this week for running backs, whether it be handcuffs, one-week plays, or extended plays?
Yeah, so I'm going to jump right in. This one hurts me a little bit because it's a junior-on-junior crime I have to commit. But Tyrone Tracy was someone I was really excited about last week. I was excited about in the preseason. I thought he looked excellent last year, at the end of last year. He beat out Devin Singletary to win the job. Devin Singletary got his revenge. He looked great. He outperformed this guy top to bottom. He outsnapped him, although the snap count was close. But when it came to running the ball, there was just absolutely no contest. 43 yards for Singletary on 8 carries compared to Tracy's 18 yards on 5 carries. It was just, like I said, no contest. It'll probably still be some sort of committee this backfield, but it seems like Singletary is the guy. He's no longer a single carry. He's multiple carries. So he's probably my top running back target in waivers.
I like that.
Thanks.
That was nice.
Thank you. But Nick, who's a top guy you're eyeing?
Yeah, I mean, for running backs, I feel like a lot of these guys kind of fall into a tier for me. We saw Jennings get the touchdown for the Patriots, but again, we got to see what Ramondre is doing, but Henderson, yeah. I'm probably not spending any money on him. Tootin had 10 touches this week. Corum, you know, those are probably the two names on this list. Blake Corum, Bashel Tootin, who have immediate path to success if something were to happen ahead of them, and are seeing some touches here.
But I've been pushing hard. Not that it makes any difference, but I've been tooting. That's all I want. I've got him in so many leagues. And I'm excited for post-bye, him to kind of take over that workload, which we saw a good chunk of. So I think he is falling into that, like, unsexy-ish flexible player. The problem is, like, as much as I want to hate on Travis Etienne looks so good in this game. Most work he's seen all season. He was fighting for it every step of the way. They get down the goal line. They gave him 2 shots. He didn't get it. Tootin went in there and finished up the job. But hustle plays, the breaking tackles, like, Travis Etienne's making a case that he should get a decent chunk of money coming into this offseason. So I want to say, hey, Tootin wheels up. Here we go. The transition has happened. But I think it's going to be a 2-back step. Like, I think it's going to be a 60-40, 50-50 split, whatever it is. So I don't know if we ever feel truly confident that Tootin is a mid to high-end RB2, but I think he's going to be flirting with that flex appeal.
Yeah. I like that break. Etienne had 27 touches this week compared to Tootin's 10. So Tootin got in the end zone, but the backfield is still Etienne's. And if this team really does kind of flounder the rest of the season, then they have no reason not to just ride out Etienne out of the rest of his contract and keep Tootin healthy. You know, that's a long-term thought process, but we'll see. That's not always what these teams do. they're kind of a fraudulent, like, reasonably contending team as well. They're, like, in it for a lot of these games, but they have no chance for actually making a playoff run.
Same record as the Chiefs. I don't know.
Yeah, and even that Chiefs win is that would
Yeah, they got the tiebreaker. They got the tiebreaker too.
If Trevor Lawrence gets touched on one of his 2 balls on the 1 yard line, or Mahomes doesn't throw a pick 6 at the 1 yard line, like, that stuff just doesn't happen.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's true.
One other running back I did want to mention, is Tajay Spears. I think this one may be better for... So he's an interesting spot, right? Because I think he's better in a deeper league, but he may not be available there. He's about to go into his bye, but then he has a great matchup against Houston. But I will say his second half, like towards the end of the playoffs, that's where his matchups get a little bit rougher. So I think that his biggest opportunity is just going to come from his workload. As he's come back from IR, we've kind of seen it. He's becoming the clear guy over Pollard. We've talked about it on the show. Maybe the team moves on from Pollard. That would leave Spears as the lone guy in the backfield. So Spears is a name I want to monitor. And like I said, especially as him going into the bye, I think he's someone you could kind of grab for really cheap if you have the bench space.
And it's something to monitor. So you're listening to this on Tuesday. The NFL deadline is today, Tuesday, November 4th at 4 p.m. Eastern. Tajay Spears plays a lot more interest in me picking him up this week if Pollard gets moved. We've heard a lot of reports after Adam Schefter's dropping stuff, little nuggets about we're getting a few more trades. Maybe it's just the Eagles going to continue to trade, but... if for whatever reason Pollard gets traded because we don't get the big sexy Kenneth Walker or Breece Hall trade, Pollard would be on that block potentially. So if he gets moved, then Tajay Spears is a lot more enticing. Without that move, I think Tajay Spears is just like a...
exactly what he is.
An exploding flex player in a 12-team league.
Yeah, yep. Rarely getting a touchdown. But Pollard to the Chargers would be nice.
I like that.
That'd be reasonable for cheap.
Yeah, because then Hampton would still get his load.
Or something. Yeah,
I like that. Two guys I want to bring up coming off bye weeks. We're still monitoring injuries, but we don't really get injury updates when teams are on bye. Tank Bigsby came in for Saquon Barkley, dropped 100 yards in the second half. And then Dylan Sampson. You know, he is not a Judkins. He's a different style back, but I like this tape coming out of Tennessee. We saw him get absolutely peppered with targets, so two names to just keep an eye on as we look at the injuries on these other fellas.
Yes, one thing about Judkins is he was seen practicing on Monday, so there is just a little update from his camp, nice. But I still like the Sampson move because I do think he's the guy that would immediately benefit if anything were to happen.
Jarrett Patterson's the other back for the Chargers. He's back there with Vidal, so if you're wondering who else might need to be looked at. And then Isaiah Davis, again, Breece Hall. Fingers crossed, folks. Fingers crossed. We're less than 24 hours from the deadline. We hope he gets moved. And if he does, Isaiah Davis drops into a great workload. I think he has an awesome chance to bring us some points.
I'd love to see it. Well, we'll really see if the Jets are in pure Madden mode, coming off like the win and the bye week. Because, I don't know, I thought if I'm the Jets right now, I would keep them. But we'll see if they want that third round pick more.
All right. Any other running backs you'll have?
That's the main ones I would say.
Nice. Quorum, I think he was mentioned, but just throwing that out there.
Yeah.
Kyren's losing some work, man. It's not pretty.
That one, I will say, like, just some notes on that. And again, Nick already covered it, but it was just like the game kind of started to get out of hand. So it's like, why not just continue to see what you have in the backup, as well as just keep Kyren a little bit fresh, because the Rams absolutely have playoff aspirations. So just try to keep him healthy. And again, just see what your second year player can do.
I agree, and I think a lot of these touches for Corum are coming in those situations, because Kyren has a lot of tread on the tires over the last few years. They have just ridden him into the ground, so it's a good thing he's still healthy, but kind of like we were talking about, like, Rashard Smith and these other, even Manungai earlier in the season, a lot of these carries are kind of game script related, and when they're still in the game, their guy is in, and that would be Kyren in this situation. So until I see Corum getting significant carries in a game that they're fighting for and not up by two or three touchdowns, I think Kyren still had over 20 touches this week and 100 yards and a touchdown. So this was not a bad performance. And again, Stafford is like the ultimate vulture this year. Devontae Adams has just come in and gotten every target inside the 5-yard line. So we'll see, but I'm not too worried about Kyren. And I would still be open to buying him if somebody was nervous about this.
I'd agree. But what happened to Matt Stafford's bad back? I thought Kyren Williams was like...
never. He just didn't want to practice.
The epidural is magic. I don't know why the women have been hoarding it for all these years, because be getting one after those rough nights sleep on the couch. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Unbelievable. So that's it. I was really hot, really down on receivers for the Rams, really high on Kyren, and not over it 10 weeks into the season. That's all.
Nice. Let's go to wide receivers. I think there's one in particular that kind of screams, hey, first priority... some dump. Mario, you want to go take it away so Nick can't guess right?
I mean, no pressure on me, but let's see if I get it right. So the guy I personally like is our founding father, Parker George Washington, the people are calling him, with Travis Hunter hitting IR. So it's at least 4 weeks you're going to have no Hunter. I thought going into this, Brian Thomas Jr., I've talked, like, I'm high on him, Jr., respect Jr. He's just absolutely not taking advantage of these opportunities, but Washington is. Washington had 9 targets, which led the team. 8 catches led the team. 90 yards, you guessed it, led the team. His 89% catch rate is higher than Thomas has had in any game this season. So, and that's something we've seen as a theme with Thomas, is he just cannot figure out when the ball is in his hands to just keep it there. They just keep sliding out. So to me, Washington is the number one waiver wire target for me.
He even had 13 opportunities in the week before their bye in that game against the Rams. So with Hunter going off in that game and Brian Thomas Jr. there as well, he's been involved. Looking at his stats, are not as great as I thought. It's more because his prop bet's been like 16.5 yards, and I've been smashing that all year long. But Parker Washington, you know, third year player, he looks.
He's the only one who can catch.
Yeah.
Yes.
I've said it multiple times. He's the only one who can catch like consistently on this team, and it's unbelievable that he is kind of like the stud. But it's clear that Trevor Lawrence trusts him, and he's going to be the dude who can kind of beat your zone. And If you hold on to the ball, then you're going to earn the quarterback's trust.
And their fourth wide receiver, Diami Brown, suffered concussion this past week, so he might be out too. So it might just be Parker Washington and then their wide receiver 6, 7, 8, 9, 10.
Tim Patrick.
Yeah, I saw that. I was like, do we
had a terrible drop 2 weeks ago too.
Do we bring
all these guys?
Oh man, Brenton Strange would be feasting right now if he wasn't on IR.
He should be back somewhat soon. I'm going to talk about Brian's guy, Christian Watson, only because this has been Brian's guy for
too long,
as long as I've known Brian, probably. But
yeah,
I really like this opportunity. I do think he's going to kind of be boom or bust, but I have this notes for later as well. But this is more of a Tucker Kraft going down situation, and these opportunities are going to pop up. So I actually really like this step up for Romeo Dobbs, but Watson is also on this list for me too. And he needs to step up. Jaden Reed's not back yet. So this offense is going to have a little identity shift in the immediate future. So if he's on your waiver wire, I think he's a good stash.
Which hopefully is a good thing for this offense. That was the big thing, the bugaboo coming into this offseason with this offense. No player on this team had more than a 21% target share. It's hard to feast when you have that kind of work. After Tucker Kraft left on the game, though, Romeo Dobbs, 21% of targets. Luke Musgrave, we'll be talking about, 15.8%. Christian Watson, 15.8%. And Savion Williams at 10%. So it's going to be spread around. But if you're targeting someone, yeah, I think Christian Watson's the sexier play out of all these. Romeo Dobbs, he is what he is.
He is what he is. Another wide receiver I want to mention. This one on your team, Brian, but Alec Pierce. Alec Pierce has kind of been getting more and more opportunities. I'm liking what he is getting. In 2 of the last 3 weeks, he's led the team in targets and yards. In the game that he didn't do that, he still walked away with 2 catches, not great, but 69 yards. So he's not going to kill you in like that flex kind of position. So he started the season really slow, as you know, Danny Dimes and the offense just kind of started to click. And of course, Jonathan Taylor gets 3 touchdowns a game, but Alec Pierce is really starting to get into form. And just last thing about the Colts is that they have a pretty good playoff schedule, including one of the best matchups for wide receivers in week 17. So I know that's really far ahead at that point, but you know, as we get into those double digit weeks, if you're sitting there in a pretty favorable position as the 1 or 2 seed, I like to start planning ahead and just trying to make those moves.
Player I'm looking at, again, wasn't quite the week that he had 2 weeks ago when he absolutely blew it away being in the top 3, but Troy Franklin has led the Broncos in target share over the last 3 weeks, 20%, 27.6%, and 27% target share over the last 3 weeks. He has out-targeted Sutton 32-25 in the last 4 games. So Sutton, that low floor we like to tag along with Sutton, it's not there this year. It's really not.
Nope, and we had it first on this show. We kind of talked about it. It's like, who is the wide receiver one of that offense? Was it Sutton or was it really Franklin this whole time? I think as of right now on the season, Franklin has more targets than Sutton. So officially wide receiver one.
Nick, you laugh. I was trying to laugh too. I'm like, come on, Mario. We're not seriously talking about Franklin being in contention up there with Sutton.
There we go. Pick
where the ball gets thrown.
Yeah, I mean, it's totally fair. I am the first to say I talked Sutton as a buy last week, and Franklin, yeah, he had 10 targets. He also had 27 yards. So let's not hype him up too much here. So
that's where it's
Dalvin is 27 yards, and Sutton gets the touchdown. So still a worse performance. And Sutton is the number one on this team for sure. And Marvin Mims did not play. So that kind of, I think that eats into Franklin a little more than it does Sutton. But Franklin has definitely outplayed Mims and outsnapped him and beaten him in every category. He's earned the wide receiver. He's earned the wide receiver two role on this offense, but
I like Mims so much more as a prospect too, which hurts.
Yeah, but Franklin looks good. You know, I've kind of been a little lower on him in this podcast than you, Mario. So I'm the first to admit that I'm wrong. And seeing 10 targets again, like they're targeting him, they're looking for him. Again, a lot of celebration over there for 27 yards, but but the 10 targets. 10 targets.
We chase opportunities. Opportunities.
We're Bo Nix targets, so it's more like 7.5 targets, you know?
Oh, yeah. I just needed whoever does our social, we need to clip where Nick said that he was wrong. Let's get that.
Yeah, totally. I always will. I always will admit it.
Yeah, unfortunately, he doesn't let me get much over on him because he's a little too humble there. I'm like, you know, me sometimes. Oops. Torrey Horton, who's taking it away?
Yeah, so Torrey Horton was the last one I wanted to just mention. He's the last guy rounding out my top five of priority targets for the waiver. So this one, he is a clear wide receiver too, unlike the Troy Franklin situation. But we kind of talked about it with Parker Washington. It's just kind of a last man standing situation. Cooper Kupp missed the game due to the hamstring. Jake Bobo missed it because of his Achilles. The rest of the guys are just practice squad guys getting signed. So obviously, JSN is going to continue to get the double-digit targets, but when Sam Darnold is just diamond and dishing as he is, Torrey Holton has that value, so I like him.
Nice. Cedric Tillman back at practice. Yeah. I think that's...
Love that.
This is a very high Tillman podcast, so
he's definitely
worth a stash.
Yeah, definitely. I think he needs to be mentioned here. Went on IR a bit, so there's that one. I mean, Mario brought up Alec Pierce. I'm going to bring up Josh Downs' touchdown in each of the last three games. Folks, we don't typically want to chase touchdowns, hint Nick Westbrook-Ikhine, but sometimes it's there. Sometimes when you got a hot team, you got a team that scores a lot, it could be something to follow. So deeper leagues, I think Down needs to be in consideration, as well as Chimere Dike, the rookie there in Tennessee. Not a great game this past week, but the Titans came out and said they're open to trading Kelvin Ridley. So if he gets out of the way, I think you have a possibility of DK, especially in 12-team leagues, potentially giving you some work. Devon Vele is another.
About DK, is he did have that, I think it was a punt return touchdown. So if you're one of the leagues that gets points for that, just a little bonus there.
Everyone, turn on special teams touchdowns. It makes it more fun.
It's more fun. People like numbers.
And the last two I had, Devon Vele, the...
fourth and seventh round traded.
Yeah, the guy that the Broncos, the 25-year-old second-year player, 26-year-old second-year player, whatever he is, traded to the Saints earlier this offseason. If there is, there's rumors that Shaheed could be traded. If that happens, Vele would kind of pop into a role. I don't know if that's a usable role, if that's a role that seems targets, but he might be the next guy up. And then Kyle Williams, second-year wide receiver for the Patriots. Again, this probably plays into Booty a little bit, but we see these wide receivers come on a little bit more. So maybe not necessarily an ad this week, but just a name to keep an eye on. Kyle Williams, decent prospect. I think he was a little overdrafted there in the second round, but you never know. The Patriots might finally hit one.
Yeah.
They're due.
I was going to say early third, but that's got to be a deeper league stash. Like probably bottom of the list here, even as a Patriots fan.
Speaking of a fun stat I saw, I think it was Andrew Cooper tweeted it out, but over the last 20 years, the AFC East has only drafted one Pro Bowl wide receiver.
Jarvis Landry. Wow.
Now, I will say, Jalen Waddle and Garrett Wilson both had really good years. They did not go to the Pro Bowl because other wide receivers were so much better. But just like we joke at that conference, how bad they are at taking wide receivers. The Bills won't take one early. They, you know, taking so many of these second round guys that don't turn into something.
Sammy Watkins.
I guess not while he was an AFC East team. But yeah,
I don't think he did.
Consistently bad from all four of those teams.
Yeah, what's Pats just took other people's six round picks and made them stars. It was like Amendola, Welker. You know, they just traded for these guys. Yeah, Randy Moss, even like Brandon Lloyd had some run over there. Like, they kind of just And they did that in a lot of positions. So LeGarrette Blunt, like, turned into like a 20 touchdown guy. But yeah, I'd have to think back. Eagles
legend. Edelman. Did Edelman get drafted by them?
Yeah, he was drafted. He was, I think, I'm surprised. Also like a sixth round pick or something.
I guess I'm just sure surprised Edelman he might have been like, by them. I thought so too, but I could see him not making a Pro Bowl, but he would have been one of like the few Pats guys.
Wasn't he more than 20 years ago? No, I'm thinking of Wes Welker. Never mind. He was more than 20 years ago.
And Welker, honestly, maybe Edelman could be more than 20 years ago. That's just like a humbling moment for me.
Right, realizing how old.
Yeah.
Wow. Crazy. Craziness. Let's go to quarterback here. Kind of a short list what we're looking at this week. Hopefully you're not having to pivot too much, but if you are the Jaden Daniels or Stroud wasn't a regular starter, but Marcus Mariota. Easy plug-in for sure. He does it. He gets it done for the most part.
Yep, he can run. Hopefully McLaurin comes back.
Yep. Someone I want to mention is Flacco. We talk about how like exciting the Bengals offense is. It operates through Flacco. He's rostered 33% of ESPN, 52% of Yahoo, which is he's available in more leagues than I expected. I understand by now you're probably kind of situated at the quarterback position. But like we just mentioned, Jaden Daniels, you're hoping he would come back. He finally does. He gets hurt again. We got a couple of good teams on bye this week, such as the Bengals. So maybe not him for this exact week. But
he should be owned by now. But
yeah,
maybe not.
If you can pick him up off the waiver, we'll check your waiver wire on Wednesday.
Maybe you could drop him now.
Yeah.
JJ McCarthy, I had him in my kind of super flex bye spot here, but. Five out of the next eight teams he plays are bottom 10 in passing yards. So they've got a really nice schedule coming up. And he was, you know, fairly promising, showed some stuff on the ground as well, had a 20-yard touchdown run. So that's against the Lions. It was kind of a prime game that I think we were all expecting them to lose and him to kind of fall flat on his face. But he looks healthy. He's got that elite set of weapons around him, and Kevin O'Connell is someone that we've trusted with pretty much every quarterback who steps in there. So I think he's worthy in this consideration.
Yeah. No, I wouldn't say quite silence the haters, but I don't think they're chirping this week anyway.
They're whispering.
Yeah. Whispering. Yeah. I was pretty excited. Again, it's a KOC quarterback. How can you not be excited? So I was excited about him coming into the season. We haven't got a whole lot of tape on him based because of the injury. So promising. There were 8.5-point dogs in this game, and they went up and they took care of business.
They look great. Last quarterback I want to mention, maybe because he's just coming off the super hot start, but Sam Darnold. Sam Darnold, just looking back at his last four games, he has that one stinker of 9.6. That's versus Houston, though, and Houston's been one of the better defenses just overall. But besides that, he has three of his last four games are at least 20 points, 28 in two of them. So I think he's someone that could be a pretty good option. He's facing Arizona. You just saw how Arizona looked last night against Dak. So I think he's a good play going forward.
All right, wise. Well, step back. Watch me work. Here we go, folks. Tie it in waiver wire. I got a bunch of them this week.
I'm pumped about the first one.
I am thoroughly impressed with, obviously one of the best tight ends of the season go down, but we've got a lot of pivoted options this year. It hasn't been near as bad as it has in the past. So let's start off with Musgrave, Luke Musgrave for the Packers, drafted the same year as Tucker Kraft, and these two got banged up.
Two rounds ahead of Tucker Kraft.
Yeah, that was
to start the season. Kraft was on the bench because Musgrave was performing, and it was an injury to Musgrave that really elevated Kraft into that role, and Musgrave has just been riding the bench since then. But
that was the hard part with these two in the very beginning. They just kept swapping spots. We were trying to figure, oh, wait, this one's better. Well, the other one's hurt, so we really don't know. Tucker Kraft has kind of pulled away with it from that point, but Musgrave's no slouch, and especially in this offense, the way that Jordan Love passes it around, if he comes in here and sees a 15 to 20% target share, he's going to be in the top 12 consideration for me each and every week.
Yeah, he was making that way up dynasty boards right off the bat, the first year they got drafted, where nobody even knew who Tucker Kraft was. So it was
kind of the Mark Andrews, and who was the guy they took in the first round? They traded him to Atlanta several years later.
Hooper?
No, not Hooper.
Austin Hooper? No.
They traded for. They got.
I know who you're talking about. And he just was like a touchdown machine, but he was not that good.
Pretty sure he's got like the Mental Health Foundation now. I don't know. Anyway, they took a first round tight end, and they took Mark Andrews in the third. And Mark Andrews is the one that blossomed. So very similar situation. Moving on to the Giants. Everyone's hurt. everyone's hurt, and the athletic freak that he is, Theo Johnson, is there. He's making things happen, so Theo Johnson, I think, is a decent ad. He might be featured this week in the streaming article. If you really want to know if he is, go ahead and check it out there on QBList.com, where we have all the other streaming articles, quarterbacks, defensive, tight ends, all the great stuff that you can find over there. Colson Loveland, I think he's going to be worth the pickup. We're not always going to get the best matchup against the Bengals. We're not always going to have an 89-point game, but he's there. Harold Fannin's coming off of a bye week, so he might have hit your waiver wire. Taysom Hill, like I said, he led the team in rushing. Might be something there. If you're down bad enough, Taysom Hill might be there. Isaiah Likely, of course, always somebody to keep an eye on. Darren Waller could be coming back from IR pretty soon. And Greg Dulcich, not quite playable yet, but he filled in decently this past week there for the Miami Dolphins, so something just to keep an eye on. And then, of course, the two rookies. You've got Arroyo there in Seattle, who scored a touchdown, is getting more and more involved. Another athletic freak, just absolutely insane coming out of Miami. And then Ferguson for the Rams. Sean McVay talked about this guy so much out of the draft. I don't know if he'll ever actually eclipse Higbee without an injury. And you've just got such a concentrated target share to the two wide receivers. But I can dream.
Even Davis Allen scored a touchdown this week. So it's like they use all their tight ends. So that one's tough. But yeah, second round pick, Terrence Ferguson. We're probably looking at him next year when they move on from Higbee.
Nice. Any other thoughts on tight ends?
You slammed it.
Sweet. Yeah. Defenses. Panthers. Panthers against the Saints might be one of my favorite. The Panthers have shown up magically in so many of these games this year. They've beaten some really good teams, or at least kept it close with some of the others. So they get the Saints. They get Tyler Shough.
Look at how that name is spelled, and tell me how that's pronounced.
All off season, I was listening to Todd McShay's podcast. I'm like, is he saying it wrong? Is it me? And then I had to finally look up the pronunciation.
None of the letters match.
None of the letters match
the way it sounds.
But it's perfect. He's in New Orleans. None of the letters in New Orleans. Have you seen how they spell Go Tigers?
Go Tigers.
It's wrong.
So him for sure. So Carolina is probably my number one defense because no one plays the Titans this week, and that's always what we kind of target. But so I also like the Jets going up against the Browns. Honestly, you could probably start either one of the teams in that matchup.
Yeah, that's going to be low scoring.
That's going to be an ugly one. I don't like either quarterback. I don't like any offensive player in that game. So I really like either one of the defenses. And I think they're both available in over 50% of leagues.
Yeah, heavily unowned.
Those are my
Nick, any defense jumping out at you this week?
No, I'd like to give that to Mario. I don't play any defense leagues. We do this every week. But
that's right. That's right. Seattle, great defense. They're playing the Cardinals. Kyler might be back next week, so that might be more incentive to play him. And then the Ravens. They're bringing back guys that are injured. The defense looks better. They do play Minnesota this week, but if you're one of those one-loss, two-loss teams, you're looking good. You're starting to look multiple weeks ahead. After they play Minnesota, they get Cleveland, the Jets, and Cincinnati. I don't mind that.
I like that a lot.
Nice. Folks, that's a waiver wire. We're going to do some quick buy sells for you real quick. Nick, lightning round. Give us those buys. Give us those sells.
All right. QBs are a little tough. We talked about McCarthy. Probably more of a super flex. Very difficult to make trades in one quarterback leagues. A lot of these running backs are a little bit more based on a little bit of usage and a little bit of a schedule for the second half of the season. So four out of these five are already past their bye, which I think is always important when you're looking at trades and making a move and trying to skip that bye for your own guy. But Jaylen Warren, we talked about last week. I was really hoping that he would kind of bottom out this week, and then we could pounce on that opportunity. And he only had, I think, 31 rushing yards, but he had the two touchdowns. So the person holding him might be a little bit more hesitant, but he's got the Chargers this week, which is not a great matchup, but then he's got five straight bottom 10 rushing defenses against them. Playoff schedule isn't perfect, but you got to make it to the playoffs to even worry about that. We talked a little bit about Quinshon. He was day-to-day, even with that first injury, so we can expect him back, and he's facing bottom 10 rushing defenses in five of the next seven games. So if they do decide to keep riding him, then you've got an elite opportunity there. Your boy Woody Marks makes the list here. I think this is a lower one than the other guys here, but double-digit carries in four out of the last 5 weeks, and he's had some rough games against the Broncos, 49ers, and Seahawks, but his upcoming schedule is Jacksonville, Tennessee, Buffalo, which have all been okay to run on this year. And then his playoff schedule is Arizona, Vegas, and the Chargers, which also is it's going to be a good opportunity there. He's getting, you want a guy who's at least seeing 10 to 15 touches, and he's going to be the receiving back for that team as well. We talked a little bit about ETN. Not a great playoff schedule, but he's a cheaper guy who's seeing, you know, this was a lot this week, but he's still out-touched 2 in 27 to 10. And then this is, we've talked about Chase Brown every week for a month, but he has really come back to life. And this is probably your last opportunity because he is going into the bye. Then he's got Pittsburgh and New England, which Pittsburgh, who knows, where you see a different defense every single week. But then he's got bottom six rushing defenses in four out of the last five. Samaje Perine, who was kind of eating into that work share, just had a high ankle sprain. He also had 14 targets this week. And for whatever reason, the first half of the year, they were not involving him in the passing game. But if Flacco's trusting him in the passing game as well, then I love that, and wheels up for Chase Brown. Anything you guys want to add before I go to receivers?
No. Let's get them receivers.
I'm just shell-shocked by 14. I'm shell-shocked by 14 targets. I just double-checked, and that is true. Like, that's great.
10 catches, and he had a receiving touchdown last week as well. Like, I don't know why they weren't giving him the ball in the receiving game, but he is an electric playmaker, which is what I've been banking on this whole time. Receivers, we talked a little bit about Christian Watson and Romeo Dubs already, but I think both of these guys step up into, you know, higher responsibility within this target share with Tucker Kraft out. Both of them we've seen perform pretty well, and I like both of them moving forward. Vikings wide receivers, we talked about last week. Five out of the next eight are bottom 10 receiving defenses, the same reason we were talking about JJ McCarthy, and even the other three are like right in the middle. I think like Seattle is the most difficult team, and they're like 14th against receivers right now, at least in points per game. So really like those guys. Probably not buying Jefferson, but Addison just had his worst game of the season, and he probably could be purchased for like wide receiver two, wide receiver three prices, maybe a bench running back or something like that. Garrett Wilson, last opportunity to buy him too. He was wide receiver 10 in points per game. It's never pretty because he's never played with an even reasonably like accurate quarterback in his entire career, but he's overcome all of that because he's an elite receiver. Coming back from the bye, should be healthy. Someone I'm happy to get on my team. And then Rome, you know, 0 points this week.
I'll take the shot.
And we saw he was the wide receiver, top three wide receiver for the first month of the season. Zacchaeus and DJ Moore and Loveland, like these guys have done essentially nothing this whole year, and they all popped this 1 week. Rome's been down for the last few weeks for sure, but you know, again, a top 10 draft pick, top talent. He is going to be the future of this offense. So if someone wants to sell him low, I'd go for it. And then Brian, how do you feel about this? We got Kittle at tight end.
This one's rough to me.
The thing is, again, they can't just feature CMC. And like, how can you even get to the playoffs if he goes down with an injury? You can't give him 30 touches a game. But really, the key is Purdy is supposed to come back next week.
Yeah.
And with Purdy back, Kittle is dominant. And without the other guys around him, you know, Ayuk's nowhere in sight.
The hard thing is George Kittle's
nowhere in sight. But
his three full games this year, 7.7%, 15.6%, and 16.7% target share. Only six of the eight games that he had without Brandon Ayuk last year, he was over 20% mark. I'm willing to kind of wash a lot of that away because Brock Purdy's not there. Brock Purdy will focus on Kittle. So I'm willing to kind of give it a little grace, but come on, Kittle. Come on, buddy.
Yeah.
Please.
Go for it. Just piggybacking off of him, different position, same team, but I think Juwan Jennings is someone that gets a good bump as well when Brock Purdy comes back. He's been kind of middling. He is coming off his best game of double-digit points, but that's only his second double-digit point game of the season. The other coming back all the way back in week two. He's been on and off the injury report, so I think he's someone, if you can buy a little bit cheap, I don't hate him.
Same with Ricky. I'm buying Ricky too.
Yep, Pearsall's a good name as well. So
Ricky!
Really just buying the 49ers offense from the sounds of it.
Yeah.
Some quick sells. Daniel Jones. This is not me saying this is the demise of Daniel Jones. He's just got the Falcons, the Chiefs, and the Texans upcoming. Mm-hmm. And those are two good defenses, and who knows what the Falcons are. But we could see a little bit of a downtick here. He's got the rushing floor. I'm not moving him just for the sake of moving him, but just schedule based is a little bit of an opportunity. Two running backs we have here, RJ Harvey again, really like the skill set. He's going to be a good flex. He should get more touches moving forward because he's clearly a very good receiver. Dobbins is dominating everything on the ground here, but he's got four touchdowns on 15 touches over the last 2 weeks, which is just not a sustainable number for anybody. Dobbins is averaging 16 touches a game and really is hitting that 15 mark every single week. It's almost like 15, 16, 15, 16 back and forth. So he's still getting the groundwork, but Peyton loves Harvey. I don't know, but it's just, if you can move him, if you can move up, if you can tier up somehow and you've got depth, then that's a good move. And then Monongai, I do think Swift is going to come back. I'm not impressed by anyone who can beat up on Cincinnati on the ground. Like, literally nobody has whiffed on that opportunity, but these are guys that you want to hold. It's just an opportunity of where, if you can package them and move up to somebody who's not going to be in at best a timeshare moving forward, because Swift is going to be involved in this, assuming he's healthy.
Yeah, I don't necessarily like selling Monongai on the fact of just, I do think he's going to cut into the workload. We might get to a 60-40 setup. But after this week in the Giants, you've got Minnesota, Pittsburgh, Philly, Green Bay, Cleveland, and Green Bay again. So it's a hard road to go up against going there. So I don't mind it on that.
And it's a dynasty mindset for me, I think, where you've got a seventh-round rookie who comes in. He's a backup. He destroys Cincinnati. And his value right now is really high, and he was worth nothing a month ago. He wasn't even on the field. So it's stocks. You know, you've got a guy at his highest. Do you see a world where he becomes more valuable or holds that value? Or do you kind of use that opportunity to sell it at its highest and take that risk? And that's kind of how I view it, is this is probably the highest he could be, unless Swift goes down for something. Yeah. I'm never really just betting on injury, but Mario, you like this one. Jameson Williams, only receiver on this list. I'd kind of start off with who just lost BTJ, who just lost Travis Hunter, maybe Puka, Booty, and see if I can make a move to those guys who now need a receiver. I still love Jameson. He is a top 15 draft pick in this league, and the OC just isn't using him the way that they kind of started using him in the second half of last year, especially. But 66 yards and a touchdown this week. So you got yourself a window if you want to get out and kind of don't want that unpredictability from week to week. And then two quick tight ends. Same thing. I'd look at who just lost Tucker Kraft, but Colson Loveland. This again, Cincinnati is the worst against tight ends. Rome had zero catches this week. A lot of that came on a play that should have been like a 30-yard catch, which would have been a nice little play down the seam, but any other team with like a Pop Warner coach would have been able to tackle him, and that play would have ended, and he wouldn't have been the tight end two on the week. He still would have had a really good week, but if Komet comes back, they're probably going to be splitting time. I just don't see that situation continuing in that way. So again, we're trying to tier up. And then Mark Andrews, also, I know you guys are Andrews haters. I've been saying don't drop him this whole time, but I'm happy to sell him. And I'm also an Isaiah Likely truther who is seeing more and more playing time. So we'll see what they do long term. I think Likely is going to be the guy next year, but I'm happy to move Andrews for a more consistent tight end and just kind of take that higher floor than the 0 points he puts up some weeks and then the two touchdowns
every other week.
Yeah.
I'd like to adjust that. I'm quite a hater of Mark Andrews. I just don't think you should have to lock him in.
You both said drop him.
You can. Like, you can stream him. He's a streaming tight end.
I've dropped him.
What is he at right now? What is his current tight end?
If he's not tight end 5, he's a streaming tight end.
That's extreme.
He's tight end 18 on the season. He is tight end 18 on the season. That is more than...
Yeah, I guess also Lamar has been out for the past month.
Two games above tight end 20. Two games above tight end 20.
So with a bye week without Lamar, that changes things. And as soon as Lamar came back, what did we see?
We saw three targets. Two of them.
How many touchdowns?
What happened earlier? I feel like touchdowns? On this exact episode, two touchdowns. Two touchdowns.
So but it's different with tight ends than it is with wide receiver threes in this fantasy exact football. Episode,
we're like, now we don't chase touchdowns, but Mark Andrews.
Tight ends is a touchdown position.
But I did, like I said, I've dropped him. I've moved on. I wanted to be cleansed of that palate. But then Tucker Kraft got hurt. So, you know, egg on my face.
Yeah. Once, well, I'm saying trade him away, so it's not like I'm pounding the table for Mark Andrews. I just think he's still a talent.
I think he is. I think you can get something for him. Yeah, my league disagreed when I tried to sell him, so I dropped him, and now he got two touchdowns. One name I didn't see mentioned on either buy or sell, but the Garrett Wilson kind of triggered it for me. Breece Hall, kind of a similar position. He's coming off his best game of the season by far. Before, he didn't have a touchdown. He may move. He may not. Does that affect whether you buy or sell? And then if he does get traded, do you buy, sell? Or if he doesn't get traded and stay a Jet, do you buy, sell?
I'm willing to buy either way. Even if they don't trade him away, they're getting rid of him after this year. Why would you not run him into the ground? Kind of like what Nick was talking about with ETN. So I think it's worth it. I love the talent of Breece Hall. I think he's back fully recovered from the ACL. Like, I don't have any worries there. The team's bad, but, you know, inconsistencies there.
Yeah, it's tough. I think we brought him up as a buy and a sell last week, and it was like he's going into the buy. He just destroyed the Bengals, like we just saw with Manungai. So what do you do in this situation? I don't know his schedule off the top of my head, but I remember thinking it wasn't great for running backs for the next couple weeks. So, but I'm just willing to buy in on talent, and that's where we are with Garrett Wilson. I would probably, you know, depending on the price, I'd still be certainly interested, and running backs are difficult to find.
And folks, if you're looking to buy more talent, head on over to QBList.com. That is where most of the talent you're going to find here in the fantasy football industry. Absolutely crushing it out there, whether it be the, I talk about all the different articles. We have tons of stuff, rankings, articles, plenty to consume over there. Go check it out, QBList.com. So many talented writers over there. Nick, you're included in that group. Where are the people finding you if they're looking for more of you?
You can find me here with QB List with my boys every week, and you can find me writing for the Fantasy Footballers as well.
And then we got Mario. Where are you at?
Yes, you find me doing pods twice a week. You're listening to me now on the Tuesday pod for waivers, the buy, sells, all that good stuff. You also listen to me on the Friday pod for the Sit Starts. A lot of good stuff there. And lastly, if you're listening to this, that means the waiver article is out, where I go a little bit more in depth about a bunch of the names we mentioned here today. So go check that out on QBList.com. And lastly, Brian. We need more Brian. Where do we get more?
How much Brian do we need?
It's too much Brian, folks. It's at too much underscore Brian, actually. If you're looking for me on Twitter, all my stuff can be found over there, whether it be my stuff with QB List or my podcast, Too Much Fantasy Football. But yes, come back here. Check out all of the great pods we have each and every week. All of the articles over there on QBList.com. We thank you for listening. Leave us a review, and we'll see y'all next time.